my quiet times with the Lord, I just felt Him loving on me and me wishing to return that love and know that I'm falling so short of what He gives me. Would you turn to Proverbs 20, please? We do celebrate the Word. Amen. I want to talk to you about something. And I know I say this about every week lately, but it's a subject I haven't heard preached, and I actually got it from my spiritual mother. She made a statement. She said, we're to, as in Proverbs 4:9, to watch and learn and do what we've seen and heard. And she said, on top of being a disciple, don't lose your fear of the Lord. And so it got me to really thinking. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a riotous brawler, and whoever errs or reels because of it is not wise. The terror of a king is as the roaring lion. Whoever provokes him to anger or angers himself against him sins against his own life. It is honor for a man to cease from strife and keep aloof from it, but every fool will quarrel. The sluggard does not plow when winter sets in, therefore he begs in harvest and has nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaims his own loving kindness and goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous man walks in his integrity, blessed, happy, fortunate, enviable are his children after him. A king who sits on the throne of judgment winnows out all evil like chaff with his eyes. Who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sins. Diverse weights, one for buying and another for selling, and diverse measures, both of them are exceedingly offensive and abhorrent to the Lord. Even a child is known by his acts whether or not what he does is pure and right. Now all the people perceive the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoking mountain. And as they looked, they trembled with fear and fell back and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but let not God speak to us lest we die. When God speaks to us, we do die. Spiritually, there's some things in us that die. And that is a good thing. But here, God is trying to help them. He doesn't want them to fear Him. He wants them to fear sin. And we all know, we acknowledge it. We suffer the consequences of our own action. But the Lord is different. He has a way of covering us. Thank you, Jesus. These people feared death more than they feared God. Daniel 9:17. What you truly fear, you revere. Fear of God is a reverence, but it's more than reverence. It is an awe. It's inclusive of an awe of God. Being in awe of who He is, His bigness. And you are capable of love and fear at the same time. I told you before, I loved my wife as much as a man can. But when she'd say, "We need to talk," there was just a tingle of fear. You can love someone and fear them also. It's in us. That's us. We have a healthy respect for doctors, lawyers, fire, but it can be overcome when God overrides every fear. Perfect love casts fear out. Daniel 9:17 says, "Now therefore, O our God, listen to and heed the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplications, and for your own sake, cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolations in the city, which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our own righteousness and justice, but for your great mercy and loving kindness." That's what God stirs in me. When I know there's no way I can deserve His greatness and His goodness and His mercy, He just gives it anyway. There are times I get tired with myself. I just get tired with myself. You know, this week, I just had an attitude. If confession is good for the soul, I got a good soul right now. Because I had an attitude. I had to deal with some things that dealt with correcting someone in authority, and they weren't happy about it. Instead, they went over my head, which is somewhat manipulative. Thank God I got people over me that cover me, and he was corrected, but I just had an attitude about it. I thought, he's got his nerve. I mean, I just thought, he needs to be glad this ain't 50 years ago. Yeah, I'd laid hands suddenly on him. Yeah. People who are just afraid of God, they only come to church to miss hell. They enjoy a good show. Especially a cheap one. But fear will make you feel alone. Absolutely rejected. And I fear that some people have relationship. They've asked Jesus into their heart. But they're without reverence. The awe of God has left them. And they come to church and even tithe and do what all the Christian stuff. But they don't really reverence God. They fear him, but they don't think about God being right there in the room and watching what they're doing. Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. It actually says it in Gehenna. Gehenna was the place outside the city that was their garbage dump. And it was continually alight with a glow because it was feeding on itself. And that's where they would even sacrifice children when they were worshiping Baal. And he says, you can end up in a place like that by your own choice. He's not sending anybody to hell, but people are choosing to go there. Job 28:28 says, but to man, he said, behold, the reverential and worshipful fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. As you draw closer to God, you get further from sin. As you can well imagine with my attitude, I spent a lot of time in prayer this week. It just overwhelmed me, and I'd go back in and spend another hour or two, and I'd feel like, okay, I'm okay. And I'd come out, and about an hour later, I'd say, let me go back and pray again. You know, this one got me. There's not many things that really get me upset. There aren't. But this one, I guess it was kind of an accumulation of things in the last while in some of the same areas, not with the same people, but, and not, you know, Chris and Gabby live with me, not them either. They're as sweet as they can be. They keep me going. But But some people have just tested my Christianity this week. And I proved myself faithful for the time being. I know I'm not going back there. I prayed until I overcome again. Matthew 28 is a strong, strong verse. Job 28 is a strong, strong verse. Proverbs 4, 3 and 4, let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart. That's actually Psalm 3. I have a gold tablet, a little tablet on, that says mercy, kindness, and truth on it. And I bound it around my neck and let it lay on my heart. Because here's what 3:4 says. So shall you find favor and good understanding and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. I have favor. I do. I have favor. Do you have favor? Yeah. You know. Let me tell you what favor is like. It's like two men. And one says to the other, if we see a bear, don't run. He says, don't run. Why? He says, because bears eat fast food. My daughter is chastening me a little bit, chastising me. Some of the stuff is in my head right now. So I have to be careful. I'm going to believe you said, let it snow. Let's see. I'm going to keep going. I find it. Okay. Psalm 25:11. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity and my guilt, for they are great. 51:7. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be, in reality, be whiter than snow. God intends for us to receive a reward for having awe and reverence for him. That in return, he'll continue to work in me and clean me and mature me. And just because I fear him, I reverence him, I have awe of who he is and what he does. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear. He walks with us if we revere and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to him its deep inner meaning. God will, the Bible says in Corinthians, man is not seen, man is not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man what God has for us. But in 2 His next verse says, but he hath revealed it to us by the Spirit. We know if we do like today, they were just giving us an opportunity to pray, to tune in. Then we hear God cleansing us and doing a work in us. Psalm 25:14 tells us we can know his secrets. Psalm 33:18, behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, who wait for him and hope in his mercy and loving kindness. His eye is on me. That's why I have favor. And it says in another spot, his eye, I'm the apple of his eye. And that he watches over me for a place to bless me. Amen. Not judge me. Amen. Bless me. When you have the awe of God, then you know it's not that kind of fear. It's worshiping with awe of who he is. The fact that he took part of himself and squeezed into a baby. I mean, that just makes me full of awe. How can he do that? I don't know. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord, listen now, encamps around those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers. My deliverance comes as angels are encamped around me. And I worship him with awe. When you were worshiping today and you were just really just telling him how much you love him and how much you worship him, he would just set angels all around you. They're not just around you, but they're actually setting up camp. That's what it says. They encamp about me. They're with me always. I really was nervous about preaching this today because it's so hard to get this truth across. But as I sat there, I thought somebody touched his shoulder, and I turned, there's no one there. And I felt somebody touch his shoulder, I turned, no one's there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's just your angels. I know I have angels watching over me. I know it. I don't think there's any secret about it. Psalm 103:17, but the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. And his righteousness is to children's children. His righteousness, he goes all the way to my great-grandchild. They are still receiving, because look, sometimes we have trouble getting our kids saved. And sometimes God has to bring them to the bottom before they even start to look up. And that grieves us. It hurts us more than it's hurting them. I know you think I probably had a perfect life because all my children are saved, and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. But I had a daughter that girl, she was a handful. And you really haven't been to the bottom even as a minister until you do a jail service with your own kid on the front row. Now, when she got out of there, she lived right. She'd come by here every Monday because she got paid on Monday and give her tithe. She'd say, if I don't give it to you right now when I cash my check, I'll never give it to you. So she'd drive by and give it to the secretary. She passed when she was 39, but I know where she is. That's valuable to me. We're moving along a little. I'm somewhat afraid of fire, but it gives me light, gives me warmth, but I don't get too friendly with it. You can become too familiar with God. You can become too familiar with the ministry and lose your respect over those that are trying to do right and help you do right. You can just begin to talk about them and fillet them and make potato salad out of them. I'm a little hungry for potato salad. Okay. I just tell you guys. Every Sunday, I try to be as open and expressive of what I feel all the time. I want to be here just like I am at home. I don't want ministry face. And I know a lot of people like that. But I'm not like that. You got to take me like I am. And if you don't like me, well, you're losing a good friend because I love everybody. And I'm loyal. That sometimes is missing from the church. Let's see. Psalm 111, verse 10. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and skill, the preceding and the first essential, the prerequisite, and the alphabet. A good understanding. Wisdom and meaning have all those who do the will of the Lord. Their praise of him endures forever. What does it mean, alphabet? Well, even the Hebrew word truth has three letters. The first is alpha, which means if it isn't true in the beginning, it's not true now and never will be true. The second letter is mem, which is the middle of the alphabet, and it means if it's not true now, it never was and won't be. And the last letter is tav, and it means if it's not true in the end, it's not true now and it wasn't true in the beginning. The alphabet teaches us what truth is. That's what it's saying about alphabet. I just love that. Psalm 34, 7. The angels of the Lord encamped around those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, and each of them he delivers. Excuse me, I read that once already. Proverbs 1:7. The reverence and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. It's starting point and its very essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. I used to say, and there are guys who come to me at my house, and they'll say, am I doing anything wrong, Bishop? You know my life. What do you need to correct in me? And when I say, you're doing well, they almost look disappointed. Like, come on, help me grow. But when you're working on yourself, you are growing. You are growing. Proverbs 1:23, if you will turn, repent, and give heed to my reproof, behold, I, wisdom, will pour out my spirit upon you. I'll make my words known to you. Verse 24, because I have called and you have refused to answer, have stretched out my hand and no man has heeded it. He says, I want to pour my spirit on you and you're not listening to me. I want you, when your kid's a teenager, you want to shake them and say, hey, pay attention to me. That's kind of what it says God does. Hey, pay attention. This is important. This is valuable. This will help you. And he wants us to know that's how he works on us. He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to be a success. He doesn't want you to hurt anyone else. So he tries to help you become a better man or woman. That's what he does. Zechariah 14. No, I'll say it, Proverbs 1:25. And you treated as nothing all my counsel and would accept none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when the thing comes that shall cause you terror and panic. When your panic comes as a storm and desolation and your calamity comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, wisdom, but I will not answer. They will seek me early and diligently, but they won't find me. because they hated knowledge and did not choose the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. He says, I want to protect you. And you're ignoring my protection. Isn't that a little frightening? That God wants to protect us and we fear his protection rather than fearing the consequences of what we've done. Proverbs 8:13, the reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of all evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and perverted and twisted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound knowledge. I have understanding. I have might and power. Sometimes God is trying to show us a way and we're not listening. And we do stupid stuff. I mean, I'm including myself. I heard a story. These three bears go into a cottage and Goldilocks has been there. And they walked into the kitchen and the porridge wasn't too hot or cold. And they went into the bedroom and Goldilocks wasn't too tough, but was soft, and so they ate her. That is pitiful. Yeah, she should have listened. You know, if I was in one of those fairy tales, the first thing I would do is teach Red Riding Hood what a grandmother looks like. Grandma, what big teeth you have. What? Yeah, doesn't the snout give the thing away? I mean, Red Riding Hood didn't come up in my hood. Because she'd learn real quick. Proverbs 9:10, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. The knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. The knowledge of the Holy means that you get so close to God that you recognize His voice to you, in you. His voice in you, to you. You know, people always say, I got a word for somebody. Well, I'd say apply it to yourself first. I mean, they'll say, I see the Lord is going to bless you. And they're living in poverty. You ought to ask the same God if he's going to bless you. I know I'm just saying things today. But I hate it when my voice does that. This is really what we need in our life to be what we should be in our life. Proverbs 10:27, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord prolongs one days, but the years of the wicked shall be made short. Wow. You want to live long? Have awe of God. Yes. There's another place that says in Proverbs 10, that He will give you a long and satisfied life. He will bless you and there will be no sorrow with it. Some of us, we think we're blessed when they give us a car to make a payment on that's too expensive for us. We get a $25 raise and a $35 bill. Because we take the $25 and spend it on something more expensive than what you got. The best kind of car in the world is a paid for. I did this for years, that I would save money in a separate account for the same amount as my car payment. And every time I bought a car, I could get a better one. You know, I just think that's common sense. Which is not as common as it used to be. The reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it rests satisfied. He cannot be visited with actual evil. You can be, the fear of God brings satisfaction. The awe of God brings satisfaction. I don't want a long life unless I'm going to live a long, satisfied life. Amen. Proverbs 14:26. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture here. But I'm coming down towards the end. How much time I got? Well, I got a few minutes. If you're always beating the Baptist or restaurant, you know. Proverbs 14:26, in the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall always have a place of refuge. Reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid the snares of death. God gives me confidence. When I stand in front of you, when I'm down there, you'll see me doing this. I have never gotten in the pulpit without being nervous about preaching. I get nervous. I don't want to be up here. I mean, let's be honest with one another. It makes me nervous because I know I'm going to give what God would say to you. And I want to do it the way he would do it. And I don't feel like I always do that. But I seriously want you to get, I don't pray, God, give me a sermon, God, give me a nugget. I pray, God, give me what you would say if you were in the pulpit. Tell me what you would say. Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the word, reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. You don't have to be poor. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that because I want you to just give more to church. That's not where I am on this. I don't like to see anybody in poverty. When they do not have to be, if they'll have all fear of God, be reverential towards him, God says, I will do it for you. And he does. I've tried him for myself. Ecclesiastes 12:13. I'm right at the bottom. We are, sometimes we worship intellectualism. We go to a doctor who may be a great doctor, but he's not a family man. You can go to a business, the guy runs the business well, but not his own finances. The intellect helps him do some things, but he doesn't tie into the Spirit of God that would keep him from doing others. You can teach science and yet not understand children or even your own spouse. In fact, you could, if you're not careful, you can be very intellectually strong but have very, 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 very few friends. Because you're not using what God gave you. This man was, his wife met with another woman, and she said, "How's your husband?" He said, "Well, he'd been on Amazon for 4 days." She met the river, and her partner said, "What's he buying?" Okay. I've given it my best shot. I don't know what to tell you. I know we have a tendency to build castles with moats around them and shutting everyone out and having a fear of people when if we get outside that moat, we can be among people who will love us. And we need to fellowship. As a church, we try to operate so that you can have fellowship. And some will say, "We don't have enough." I know, but we're working on it. We're working on it. Well, I don't have enough fellowship. Yeah, you don't come out to the teaching on Wednesday night. I don't have enough fellowship. But you don't come and pray with people, because when you pray with people, you get to know them. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now, this is Solomon after he'd done everything that you can imagine. 700 wives, 300 concubines, or maybe it's the other way around. 300 wives, 700 concubines. He never had a war. He was wise. Personally, I feel like with 1,000 women in the same house, who has time for war? I mean, that's what I think personally. All has been heard, says Solomon. The end of the matter is fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or evil. He says, after all these you had, he said, more He said the richest kingdom in history. People are coming from as far away as all over Africa just to see. And yet, he lets sin in his life and begins to let his wives and concubines worship their gods, their false gods, and he ends up being part of it too. But at the end of his life, he says, this is what I've learned. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Amen. Have awe of God. Let him be a God that just makes you have awe. I'm done. Some of you here, you've searched yourself and found that somewhere down the line, you lost your awe of God. Not because you willed to, but because life became overwhelming. And you still pray, you still worship, but you don't fear God because you've lost your awe. Others of you, you've never really experienced God. You don't know how good he can be to you. And if you fit either category, we got an altar. Would you stand with me, please? If you fit either one of those, you need to come. If you've lost your awe of God, if you've never had it, especially, but if the awe of God, because you're so busy, I can tell you that you can be so busy in the work of God that you lose your awe. And he's had to correct me at times and say, son, pay attention here. If you've lost, if it's edged out of you by life, just step out and come. It's all right. It's okay. It's all right. Nobody's judging you. How can you judge someone who's hungry for God? Can't do it.